Are human beings inherently bad, exploitative, consuming machines? Or is there a chance that we might exist in harmony with nature and steward each other and the earth along with growing our businesses? That's what we're here to talk about today.
Welcome back to the Softpreneur Podcast. We are Elisa Jakim and Don Petrin, and we're here to help anti-establishment thought leaders and holistic wellness visionaries get expanded on how to build an aligned and abundant business by expressing your unique essence with more clarity, courage, and conviction. The collective needs you to rise up into the limitless possibilities of your full potential. So let's go.
Whoa, whoa. Hello, everyone. We are back today to speak about stewardship as opposed to exploitation, as you probably just heard. And on this podcast that we meant to be short, but is a little bit longer, Elisa and I riff on how to do life differently, whether it's the way that we consume, the way we collaborate, how we establish our communities and hold the collective in love, as well as our own and yours. Sorry, but it's true. Creative responsibility to create the worlds that we want to live in on a small scale so that the large scale can reflect a more open-hearted, loving, and collaborative, beautiful way of being. So without further ado, let's dig in. Hey, everyone. Welcome back. It is Elisa and I for a little solo episode. And I wanted to start off by expressing my gratitude to everyone who's been listening and like sending us messages in Instagram or wherever you chat with us. We've received a lot of really positive feedback about the podcast, and it means the world to us. I don't know if we've told you, but we are committed to doing this until next June for sure. And as much as we love it, it's also just super helpful to hear from you guys telling us that you like it, that it means something, and that you are receiving from our conversations with our guests. So that's where I wanted to start. The next thing I want to say is that we are softpreneurs or aspiring softpreneurs ourselves, which means that, for example, Elisa often has her toddler, almost toddler, and she's a little sensitive to the toddler saying, but generally has her toddler with us. And there are things going on around all the time, and we are letting ourselves show up perfectly, imperfectly. So if you hear lovely Theo singing in the background or my puppy dog doing crazy things, our apologies. And also, even more than that, thank you for holding space for us to be sharing and also just, living our lives and running our business while we're creating. This is a little bit of a long monologue, but today I really wanted to speak about business as stewardship in a little bit of a deeper way, because when I got the intuitive hit that we could do business differently, and our clients tell us, like, you guys do it so differently, and started talking when we started speaking about business as stewardship, it's new, right? It's both new and also, I think, the way things have been and should be. And what worries me is that you think I know exactly how to do this. And also, I don't want to just shit talk. I want to really, really like parse it out and crowdsource / come into like the collective consciousness and unconsciousness to really figure out how we can build this new earth in a way where we are treating each other better and exploiting each other less.
I love this. You're speaking my love language. Of course, how we've been brought here to steward together. And that word, stewardship, I feel like blossomed. I'm super excited to chat with you about this. And it blossomed into my heart and life before meeting you, Dawn, and I'm sure it has the same with you. And it's continues to blow me away the different dimensions that co-creating All Connected takes on, and how more and more it's clear that this is a stewardship project, and that the entrepreneurs who are magnetized to our field and this work know that they're here to steward something that is larger than themselves. So yes.
Yay. And now the question is, like, so how do we do this? How do we show up and treat everyone as well as possible and be building like abundance and love and caring for the earth and each other as we also, you know, try to bring in currency that enables us to pay our bills and feed ourselves and our family members really healthy food that, you know, hasn't been affected by Bill Gates. I'll stop there. So I recently went to a music festival, and it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was dancing really close to sober. And I just got this hit, like, who are you to call yourself a steward in the business world? And who are you to be speaking about this? What are you doing? And how can we create a conversation around how to do business differently, how to live differently, and also how can we bring more people into it? And what came to me were, while I was dancing, literally like dancing with a couple of my best friends, what came to me were three ways that I think we can start that are sort of like low hanging fruits to how we can be better stewards of the earth and each other in business and in life. So the first one, and I'll just quickly run through them and then we can have a conversation about it. But the first one to me is consumption. Our societies, well, first of all, you know, as human beings, we consume the earth and then, you know, we give it back to the earth, right? And our societies have been built in a big way around consumption, almost more than service. And I don't know when this happened, but I think one of the first places we can look at to be better stewards is how and what we consume. The second thought that came to me as I was dancing in the forest with like lasers all over, I'm like, is this stewardship? And I have some thoughts on that, but we'll come back to it. But is collaboration. It's not just consuming, it's collaborating with each other and how we do that and who we collaborate with, who we choose to lift up with our platforms, or, you know, refer to people, introduce to people. I mean, even a matchmaker, right, is like a collaboration thing. And then the third thing I thought about, and this is where it comes back to y'all too, is creativity. It's not going to be like, Dawn says, this is how you become a steward. You know, I think actually that all of us have creative impulses to follow, and that we can all co-create what it means to be a steward in business and elsewise. So those are my three C's. I'm going to name them again: consumption, collaboration, and creativity to start.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for this download, sharing this download, danced, and yes, 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 and yes. I want to share a little bit, like, on this sort of like riff on this topic with that frame in mind. And stewardship is an interesting word because I feel like it brings a certain energy or relationship. When you think of your business as something that you're stewarding, it immediately means it's sort of like you rise up to it, right? If there's a sacred feeling of responsibility and this idea that what you're building, yes, we talk a lot about personal brands and expressing your essence. And the beautiful thing is, like, as you let the divine dance through you, often, like, the project you're creating is bigger than, like, you, or, like, as Yogananda, who I follow, would say, like, us four and no more, you know, the nuclear family, right? That spirit of collaboration that you so beautifully chatted about. Yeah, this family that's bigger than the nuclear family, but can also include and encompass that. And my husband and I, Jabari, kind of co-dreamed a stewardship project after I was completing a karma yoga program. So my husband, Jabari, and I co-created a stewardship project very quickly before I found my way into copywriting and meeting Dawn. That is a continuation of Yogananda's idea of world brotherhood colonies, which, like, however the word brotherhood sits with you, I think it, like, brings up things in people. But let's say, like, you know, brotherhood, sisterhood, community, connection, like soul family level connection with, like, all incarnations and all of God's children, which is all of us. And this idea of, like, creating intentional spiritual communities, really. And he founded Self-Realization Fellowship. And then Ananda, where I got married and I did karma yoga and I took discipleship, is another example of a world brotherhood colony founded by J. Donald Walters, Swami Kriyananda, who, like, his mission in this life was both to carry out the teachings of Yogananda as well as, like, community. And he had a ton of Aquarius in his Vedic chart. And that was a large scale stewardship and a model that Yogananda saw. You know, he brought, in many ways, is one of the main teachers who brought yoga to the West when he came in 1920. And he called upon people. He gave this big speech in Los Angeles. And I think you can see this, like, amazing photograph of him giving this speech. I'm pretty sure that's the same photo, where he called upon people spiritually minded to create communities or world brotherhood colonies together, and actually to, like, buy pool resources and buy land and raise children and, like, create our own somewhat, like, heaven here on earth. And, like, yeah, so I have so much to say on this, but I think that a world brotherhood colony, or what he was speaking to, can take on, like, any dimension inside of your heart. And as Jabari and I are seeing this vision we have of Nama, which I can talk about now or other times, take root and take life, or as we're building All Connected, it becomes clear to me that that concept of a business stewardship that we are meant to carry out is, like, maybe the way, and it's maybe the way to this, like, mysterious new earth or new paradigm that Dawn and I have been thinking about. Do we need a new name for this? So that is my riff on the topic. And the last thing I'll say in this little riff is, Yogananda often said, environment is stronger than willpower. And this idea that we, you know, crafting or putting ourselves in community with like-minded seekers, really, you know, it's similar to the concept of being around expanders or people that elevate you or lift you up. It really moves us forward on the spiritual path. And environment is so much part of stewardship, as you were speaking about, Dawn, right? Earth and community and collective and creativity.
Yay. I think you brought in the fourth C. I was thinking we need four. And I think you're right. I think it is community, and they weave, right? It's weaving. This whole world, everything is a weaving and a dance. The pre-Socratics, so this was, like, oral history, they said the world felted itself into existence. And I just think of that as, like, it didn't weave, it, like, felted itself into existence. And yes, this weaving still hits with me. And this is what I mean about creativity. Like, I'm not going to be able to tell you how to do your business in stewardship, right? I can share the intuitive hits that I've received and the ways that my heart is calling me to move forward with business, but I can't tell you, person listening in, I don't know, Saskatchewan or Tennessee or Bosnia, like, what stewardship looks like to you. So I would love to talk about consumption just for a moment. And this is, like, I'm just going to be really quick, right? Like, we're consuming every day, all day. We're either eating or drinking. We're consuming information, like sunlight, right? Like you said, environment, the air around us. And I think that we can be more thoughtful about the choices that we make and how we're consuming. And I think we can recognize our privilege and make choices that work for us. Like, not everyone. Like, my dream is to have a little regenerative farm, or probably actually, like, a giant, like, herb farm where apothecary, right? Like that's what I want. And right now I have herbs growing on my deck and, you know, I'm doing my best to eat from the farmer's market these days because it's like even less expensive than like the big box. Not that there's any big box grocery stores in my tiny town, but I'm doing my best to like buy local and support other people, like putting my money, the money that I have, towards consuming things where I believe in the business, I believe in the things they're doing, and that I know are better for the earth. And if you live in a giant city in the interior of the city, and you live in, I think they have these more in the US, but like in a food desert, and actually 7-Eleven is where you can go to get food, then that isn't gonna be like, judging yourself and thinking I need to buy more locally, or if you can't afford that financially, there are probably other ways that you can work with being thoughtful about your consumption. And that's what I mean about checking privilege, because like, yeah, I live in the, you know, middle of nowhere in Canada in the mountains, and there are a lot of local farms around that I can support in the summer, but like not in the winter. You know, I'm going to have to eat food that traveled from really far away in the winter, and I'm doing all right financially right now, but there were totally times where it would not make sense for me to go to the expensive grocery store to purchase, you know, the most net zero, blah, blah, blah food, you know, and I've always had enough to eat and always been able to take care of myself. So I guess listeners, and Alisa, I'll pass it to you after this, but my like homework, play work would be like, what are you consuming regularly and how can you shift? How can you become thoughtful about your consumption, especially electronic? I'll be quick, but during the like really hard pandemic years, I think a lot of us got addicted to consuming news media, whether it was like mainstream or, you know, what is it? Not conspiracy theory, conspiracy reality or whatever it was. We are stuck in our homes and really like online consuming everything that came out there. So not just what you're eating, what you're putting in your body physically, but also how much time are you spending consuming information and how much of it lifts you up and lifts the world up and how much of it is divisive and I'll say like problematic. But yes, I think it could be a fun journaling exercise to look at all the ways you consume and see if you can find a couple of places where you can be giving back and supporting the truth of what you want to bring into the world with your consumption.
Thank you, Dawn. I've got song with me. So beautiful. Yeah. And it made me reflect on a lot of things. I think one of them is like pace, right? With consumption and almost like the metaphor of digestion, right? Like what can we actually take in? How can we like bring intentionality into our choices, wherever, whatever you have access to in the moment, and like, yeah, quick hits or rapid consumption versus like, okay, can I pause? Can I like take my nervous system out of like the like hyper addictive tendency to just kind of do the maybe what feels automatic choices? And just like, there's so much intentionality when it comes to consumption. And I think something that we've threaded throughout All Connected and just how we, our ethos is, we believe in small business. We believe in championing small businesses. And it's, I mean, maybe this will bring us to another C. You'll have to remind me the order because it makes me think about creativity. But I feel like small business is such a celebration of individuals' creativity. And while we have money in this realm, like, yeah, that sort of idea of, I guess, voting with your dollar for, not to sound trite, but I really think we can become so intentional. And this is a meditation I've been doing lately about like, where does each dollar go? And can I feel good about where it's released in the direction it's released in?
Yes. I love it. We've been listening to Amanda Francis lately, and instead of like spending, you're spending too much money. She's like, I release it, and I release it in ways that I love. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. Like, we have amazing podcast producers and we couldn't do it without them. And how happy am I to pay them? And again, this is more like collaboration. And I don't think there's really an order unless we have a listener who's like, this is the order. But collaboration wise, like we work with amazing, mostly women, but also men, copywriters and designers and strategists. And like, it feels good to pay them, you know, and we charge an appropriate amount to our clients where we can bring on really amazing people, steward them in their careers and not be trying to pay them as little as possible, but also making sure that we're like charging in such a way that our clients find it accessible, and not everyone finds it accessible. And that's fine. We had to raise our rates, like about 8 months ago, because it wasn't quite working for us. And we just raised them a little bit. And now we can like steward the business and the people in the business and have the support that we need to get really good work out of people so that we can like grow, not ourselves, but yes, ourselves, but also our clients' businesses. And you wanted to go to creativity, and I'm so down with that. We'll do collaboration afterwards. To me, creativity is really about like removing the guru at the top. I would never say I was a guru, but removing the idea that there's a leader that has to tell you how to steward. If you want to care for the earth and the people in it, then like, please bring forth your creative spark in all of the ways, whether it's like through art, through your business, through your connection with other human beings. But also like, dude, if you have like, I do this in my business and it's really a brilliant way to steward the world, share your creativity with others. I feel like what happens in this world is like, we're like, oh wow, look at this. Oil works really well to run engines. We're like, well, screw the steam engine. Let's make everything out of oil. And then whatever, a couple hundred years goes on. And then we're like, oh no, the oil is bad. We have to switch everything to electricity. And then of course, like, oh no, the mining for lithium is bad. We have to switch everything to this. And my opinion is that every time human beings try to do something on a really large scale, even though they're trying to like fix things, they end up just kind of, we end up screwing something else up. And this is sort of my like political beliefs too, is that like small scale creative decisions that are like made within communities are going to be actually better at like solving any of the issues, whether that's like climate change or whatever, like getting the good food to the good people. If we are creative in our localized places, we can develop solutions that work for us and others around us. And then someone else is going to develop another solution for them and the people around them. And actually, there's probably some weaving again or felting again. But as soon as we're like, become like tyrannical and be like, this is the solution and everyone must follow the solution, we end up causing, I think, more problems. So to me, creativity on the scale of stewardship, of course, is creating beauty that we can share with each other and make everyone happy. But it's really like, to me, that creative pillar of stewardship is about calling out to you, Elisa, you, the listener, and you, someone who doesn't even know, but maybe is feeling that ping, to be creative in the ways that we care for the earth and each other.
So beautiful. And it's like your creativity, it's such a gift, right? It is, to go back to service, like it is a service, it is an offering. And I think like, it's very beautiful, everybody who is in Dawn's field, to witness Dawn as a steward of like giving creators space to show up and be their creative selves and make a living at it a lot of the time. And I feel like a kind of undercover mission that I don't know if I can say this is your mission, Dawn, but it's definitely an all connected mission. And it really stems from Dawn's, one of her serious gifts is seeing the genius in other people, is like you know, wanting to help great writers get paid to write, like, the which is kind of like revolutionary and amazing on a lot of levels. And speaking as somebody who's like, I never, you know, never thought like I would be paid well as a writer or like an artistic creative person. So it's like the dimensions of like seeing what you're creating as a stewardship project unfold in these really, really beautiful ways. And it's like, oh, should I be having a marketing agency? What's the, you know, what's the spiritual thing there? But then like, as things begin to build, it's like, you have a need, somebody else has a gift. And like, there's this beautiful kind of almost alternate way of being and creating. And this goes into collaboration, of course, that emerges from this space. And it's like no longer even about like, oh, I need to delegate, but it's like, oh, I need to give space for somebody else to use their creative genius and feel lit up and for us all to like grow together. And I think from the start, the name All Connected, this idea of like, we kept saying it, it's like we grow together. That is in the soil of this project here. And yeah, it's just sort of like, it also is a way for people who maybe, I think a lot of us now are tired of we're in the millennial camp. And I think a lot of millennials saw the world their parents like came up in, and it was like, you could exist in your 9-to-5 box and you actually could, you know, make a living at a lot of different jobs and support a family. And then, you know, there's a lot of different expectations and ideas there. But a lot of us found growing up in these places, like we didn't fit in. We don't, creatives and creative types don't fit in to the box. They don't fit into the rigidity of those kinds of structures. And together, there's a kind of creativity of a new way that celebrates other people's rhythms and the ways their minds work and the way we want to be. And really quickly, I'll just say, I feel like almost like 10 years ago now, I just had this like feeling where I was like, millennials, it's like we almost like grew up with, there was this like celebration of the city and the urban center and everyone wanted to go live in the city and it was hot. And then there was like real estate became so expensive. But we were always also interested in like that, like mason jar lifestyle and the, you know, quirky, whatever this, oh, there's a mason jar coming into the frame. And I feel like it's been really cool to witness how generationally it feels like there is a movement toward wanting to maybe be stewards or be in more connection to earth and nature. And I'm like just kind of celebrating, you know, there's so much we maybe rail against culturally in society, but I think this is a shift and a trend. And like, strangely, of course, the pandemic like made space for that. So it was like a strange gift. But yeah, I just want to celebrate this collective movement toward stewardship and earth love and responsibility.
Okay. And that was so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I agree that growing up, it was all about like, I'm going to get to New York City. And now I'm like, I mean, I love New York City. We just recorded with Lisa Levine of Maha Rose NYC. And like, ooh, I want to go there. Thank you for sharing that. So beautiful. Thank you for saying such kind things about me. I'm like, oh gosh, where is she going to go with this? And yeah, you, and yes, I do think collectively, like, both our parents and the generation before, we saw what they were doing isn't working. So now we're trying to figure out another way. And like I said, I think creatively, there are so many other ways of being. And it's cool to be able to be those out of the box creative types who are becoming expanders, to borrow from To Be Magnetic / We Speak That Language, because we are practitioners of that, but to be expanders for others as a way of living. And yes, I think we can run our businesses in collaboration with the people who are working for us, to the extent where nobody works for us, they work with us. And that is a lot of what it feels like is happening at All Connected. And then that does bring us to collaboration, right? And collaboration is where creativity comes from, or it's one of the places. Like, at least for me, I like my creative spark often comes from watching and being I remember like one of my poems came through years and years ago because I was like watching, I was in undergrad and I was watching like PhD poets do a spoken word. And all of a sudden I was like, ah, so many poems, right? But I think in collaboration, we can inspire and also support and raise up other human beings who are doing the good work. And I don't know, I'm not a solopreneur, man. I'm just not one. And kudos to you if you are and you just like hire a VA and you can do everything yourself. I would probably just stay in bed. So for me, collaboration is a lot of where my inspiration comes to work. To, you know, bring in abundance so I can, pay the people who are working with me. And then, yeah, collaborating with other really cool people whose messages I believe in, whose missions are moving the world towards being, again, as this is from our podcast with Lisa, but it was like her vision for the collective is that people are more, you know, kind and compassionate and empathetic towards each other. And I think when we have a collaborative spirit, that comes right there on its own. And we can collaborate by like hosting summits, you know, we can collaborate by working with and for people. We're going to do a round table on sovereign business. That's going to be a collaboration because Elisa and I were like, yeah, sovereign business masterclass. And they were like, oh God, how would you do that? Right. And so we're like, oh, round table. Let's ask other people. And I think, even in academia, which has all of its problems, which we won't enumerate here because this podcast is already longer than we intended, but it's like the collaboration of minds in academia is like what moves philosophy and science and like thought leadership forward. And I think if we collaborate lovingly from the heart, that is a piece of stewardship, you know? So yeah, I'll let you add, Elisa, and then I have one more idea to bring in as a last idea, and then we'll close off this podcast and try to keep it shorter than an hour.
The real quick thing I'll say too, which is like a space where we get to practice creativity and collaboration, is like, which I'll just peel back the curtain a little bit. Dawn and I have like this incredible co-writing process where it's like we were, and these things happen, I think, when you like decide to move forward in what you're creating in a stewardship mind. It's like the way that our skill sets complement, and there's like complementarity, right? Like complement each other as writers is like so cool. And I'd never had a co-writer really before working with Dawn, but it's like, I'm more generative. Dawn is amazing at editing. And like together we felt these word webs that are, I think like on my side, it feels like greater than what I would have created on my own. And it's just, I use the word mind-blowing a lot in this space because I'm constantly blown away by like what can be created in this team spirit. And I totally want to underscore, not everybody is like a solopreneur, and it's like finding your way, like finding and opening your heart to the collaborators that can help you like both like keep going and expand maybe fast, like further than what you would do on your own. And that's one thing we talk about too. Sometimes we're more motivated to build or create things as a group than just like, oh, this is for me and like my thing, you know? So that's what I'll say.
Love it. Yeah. And I think also our coaching clients, right? Like we're collaborating their coaching careers with them. They're not all coaches, mostly though. So I think the same thing is like as a leader in a business, if you can see it as collaborating with all of the people around you, your clients, your, you know, employees or subcontractors and the earth, it can be so, so beautiful. So the last point I want to touch on and also makes me realize I should bring my herbalism teachers on is this ethos of leave no trace and how underscoring it is the idea that what humans do is bad and that nature on its own is inherently good and that humans are not natural. So, and with, we had Camilla Blossom on, I think it was our fourth podcast. And she spoke about the same story as my herbalist teacher spoke about, because we're both in the Pacific Northwest. And it was about, I believe it's called the Camu plant, which is a beautiful medicinal plant. I believe it's also edible, that the indigenous of this area, and they were nomadic. So, oh my God, I won't get into it, because in the early 50s, Canada was like, these people are extinct, but they were just on the other side of the border. So, side note, one day I'll talk about the BS of this beautiful land that I live in. But the indigenous people of the Pacific Northwest, they stewarded the Camu plant. And that meant that I believe this is part of the reason that they would, like, as well as the mushrooms, like the morels, like, set parts of the forest on fire each year in order to let the forest, like, come back to life, right? It's like the pine trees needed to become ash to feed the soil. And we, these days, we don't call it summer, we call it fire season, because since Canada, government took over not quite stewardship of the forests, they kept the fires down for so long that there's so much fuel now, and there's so much, like, old dry stuff that sometimes when the fires come, they're, like, almost unstoppable. Whereas in the past, the people of this earth who were here before us, who were stewarding the forest by caring for it and inputting it, they actually, without doing, like, some sort of mono agriculture farming methodology, they were able to care for the forest and bring in more of the plants that were their main sources of medicine and nutrition, and would bring more animals in, right? And there's, like, this ethos of, like, you know, when you're harvesting, or excuse me, like foraging, you only take a little bit from each plant, right? So that the next person, the animals, and the plant itself has enough to keep going. And, but you don't not take anything, right? So I want to talk about Leave No Trace. And I think a lot of the time it's really good, especially, like, you know, Burning Man. Yeah, dude, clean up your shit, literal. But the idea that humans are bad and that we are hurting and exploiting the earth and each other and holding on to that idea and consuming it, this is a problem that I believe is making things harder for us to work in collaboration creatively as stewards of the earth and each other.
So beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that present, Dawn. Such a powerful message, and so grateful. So grateful that you just shared it and to be co-creating in stewardship with you. Is there anything else you want to bring present?
Thank you. Just that I really meant it when I said creativity and collaboration and consumption. And so, you know, our, like, call to action for the podcast is usually, like, follow us on Instagram and let us know what you think. But you know why? Because we want to collaborate the Softpreneur podcast with you. And if this idea of stewardship, it hits for you, I would love to know how you are stewarding the earth, the people around you, and yourself, your business. And I don't know, if you don't want to Insta me, fine. I'm Dawn at allconnected.agency. I would love to hear from you. And I would truly love to be in collaboration about what it means to doing life and business in a way that stewards the earth and each other. How about you, Alisa?
Yeah, I am here for it. I think that's why I'm here. And I'll just say, you know, sometimes the bigness of this concept can be humbling, and it can feel like, really me? Like, am I up to this, but can I rise to this? And we had this beautiful coaching call last week. It was on the Lionsgate, and it was, like, a lot of downloads. And we realized that for everybody, there's that feeling of, like, not enoughness. And who knows, maybe it's because we don't have that. We feel like our connection to nature is wrong, or that our humanity is wrong, or we're not doing this correctly. But, like, if not you, then who? And just giving you so much love to everything that you're stewarding in your life. And you're already doing it. We all are.
Yay. So thank you so much for listening. And yeah, we would love to hear from you. Like I said at the beginning of this pod, it's so nice when people are like, I listened and it was great. And I also want you to be like, I listen, I think you're wrong. We can't be creative. Like, let's have a conversation. All these C's are coming through. Let's have a conversation about what it means to be stewards. And let's do it from a place of humility, openness, and really the belief in the goodness of humankind when we have an open heart. So yeah, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Softpreneur Podcast. If it resonated with your ethos and your soul, we would be so grateful to you if you leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast.
This helps us grow so much, and it also helps more visionary business owners find the show so they can make their dream life their real life. So many blessings and love.